back. Yes, folks, the wizard is back. You're listening to the Hour of the Time, and I'm the wizard. And if you don't know who I am, then if you must know, I'm the wizard. Tonight we're going to finish up. This is tape number 12 in the Asset Protection Series. Tape number 12 in the Asset Protection Series. That is if I get through all this material tonight. And if I do, then the series is finished, unless I get some calls and people want to do a call-in broadcast on Monday on the subject to clear up any questions you might have. But judging from the last two, I don't know if that would be productive or not. But we'll see. So make sure you have pen and paper by your side. Make sure you're ready to write after we do the little musical thing. But I want to let you know, folks, that things are going to get pretty tough pretty soon. You know, this guy that shot those poor Jewish children in Los Angeles, President Clinton, in an address today, referred to him as the militias are coming back. Well, President Clinton, I can guarantee you the militias are coming back, but he was not a militia. Didn't have anything to do with any militia, and you're a stinking, lying, puke-faced jerk. Just keep it up. Keep up your lies. If you think the American people can't see through your social engineering and your lies, boy, have you got another thing coming. You make me sick when I just see your face on television. I mean literally sick to my stomach. I know you're going to come out with some stupid lie every time I see you, and it never fails. He also is asking for Congress to pass strict gun control laws and to pass more hate crime laws. What do we need hate crimes for, ladies and gentlemen? Are you trying to tell me that if some stupid jerk if some stupid jerk murders a black man and another stupid jerk murders me, that the murder of the black man is more serious than my murder? I don't think so. Because that's racism. What they're saying is the white race is worth nothing. I'm not a racist. I'm not a white supremacist. But I can see through this crap. This is no different than the old thing in the South where they used to hang blacks and wouldn't punish anybody because blacks weren't worth anything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that all human life is valuable. All human life is equally valuable. If somebody punches a Jewish guy in the mouth, are you trying to tell me that the guy should get 10 years, but if he punches me in the mouth, he should only get 2? Is that what you're trying to tell me, you stupid jerks? I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of it. And you all start better being getting sick of it, because pretty soon you're going to be living under the Fourth Reich. And I'm not kidding you one bit. It's coming. Herr Clinton, the new Nazi, the new Hitler in the White House, has just appointed an information minister. Did you know that? Joseph Goebbels has risen from the dead. I told you this New World Order was going to be just exactly like Hitler's vision of his new order of the world. Now we have an agency of government to control information. Joseph Goebbels is back from the dead. He's laughing at all of us. When are you people going to wake up? When are you going to understand what's happening? When are you going to realize that this is crap? And it's got to stop. And if it doesn't stop pretty soon, remember what I told you last night? You better listen to me again. If it doesn't stop pretty soon, there's going to be a great civil war in this country, and blood is going to run in the streets of America. Not because I want it to happen. I've spent years and years and years trying to wake up enough people so that it couldn't happen. But you're not waking up. And I'm afraid it's going to happen. Golly. You're ready to write, folks. Well, I'm just sick about what's happening. I am just absolutely sick about it. And by the way, if you don't believe that remote mind control is possible, go to our website, harvest-trust.org, click on Proof of Remote Mind Control, read it, and weep. Read it and weep. Been getting a lot of calls about this asset protection series. I've been helping people to understand it. And some are asking, why should we go outside the United States? And all I can tell you is if you don't understand it by now, I don't know how to explain it to you. It should be evident to you. It should be obvious. You should be able to look around and see what's happening to people and know that you shouldn't be here. Or at least your asset shouldn't be here. You should be here to help us fight when the time comes to reinstate freedom and constitutional republican government according to Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution for the United States of America. There is a steady devaluation of the United States' so-called Federal Reserve note. 90%, in fact, over 90% since 1939, just 30% of that since 1985, and it's just going to be more to come. The government is on a destructive feeding frenzy. A destructive feeding frenzy. The appetite of this government is insatiable. When was the last time real taxes were reduced? What about sales tax, capital gains tax, death tax, duties, estate tax, income tax, property tax, and countless other hidden taxes that most of you don't even know about that are making your dollars worthless? Most of us, if we're involved with this Internal Revenue Service Nazi jackbooted thugs, this extortion scam, have to work 5 or 6 months out of the year before they can even start putting anything in their own pocket. It's disgusting. And I don't know why you do it. There is, whether you know it or not, the worldwide, the global economic collapse is not over. It's just sort of been put on hold. And so it's pending. And then there's the growing problem of the out-of-control welfare state. You know why you've got to work 5 or 6 months out of every year? That's because almost every penny that comes into government has to go out for some entitlement program that somebody now believes we owe them. I don't owe anybody anything unless you can give me a contract with my name on it. I don't know about you. Most of what you pay in that's called the so-called income tax does not go to pay for anything to run the government, no matter what you think or have been told. It's out of control. During the next 25 years, the world will see the biggest shift in economic strength for more than a century. You see, money's on the move around the world. New wealth is being created at a frantic pace in different countries: Asia, South America, Europe, and the Middle East. Old money is following new money as savvy investors look to get in on the phenomenal growth in these areas, and often while their own countries are stagnating. It doesn't mean the United States of America will be washed away, but it does mean that one should be prepared to—that's a secret message to our agents in the field, folks. One should be prepared to diversify—it's another secret message—to diversify globally. You see, we live in a new era. It's an era of change, and nothing's going to stop it. One thing I've learned in my life is that everything changes eventually, and once that change reaches a certain point, there's no going back. And those of you who are sitting around thinking that it is going to go back, you're fooling yourselves. Mobility. Nobody lives in the same town anymore all their life. Nobody. Nobody. Or let me put it this way. A very few people might live in the same town their whole life. Most people, the great majority of people, don't even live in two towns for their whole life, or three or four. Our civilization has become so mobile that a lot of people are moving every 2 or 3 years, whether they work for somebody that says they got to move or not. And the stress connected with this modern society is just unbelievable. It's overwhelming. So protection of your assets is of paramount importance. Life has become global. Whether we like it or not, it's the truth. Walls have come down everywhere. The world economic powers are shifting, and it is affecting all of our lives. While we used to be the economic giant of the world, I can assure you we are not now, ladies and gentlemen. We are not now. And what made us the greatest economic giant that's ever risen up on this earth has moved to third world countries. The advent of computers, email, the internet, World Wide Web, the information superhighway, satellites, cell phones, makes communication instantaneous and information available so easily, not only to you, the consumer, but also to those who wish to intrude into your personal and financial affairs. Privacy and confidentiality is gone, ladies and gentlemen. Where in the old days they used to have to somehow steal your personal records to find out what you were doing, now all they got to do is tap your telephone. Privacy and confidentiality is gone. Just look at all the new reporting requirements that never existed before in history. imposed on all the facets of business and banking. Cash transaction reporting, cash deposits reporting, cash withdrawal reporting, cash transfer reporting, employee payment reporting. More and more, it becomes essential that a portion of your estate, no matter how large or small, be diversified and secured offshore in a bank or a trust or an IBC. And it is now affordable to all of us, not only to the rich. In less than 20 years, the world stock market inventory has grown 700%. Can you imagine what that means? In 1970, U.S. equities comprised fully two-thirds of the world's stocks. Today, U.S. equities are less than one-third of the world's stocks. The Dow, the NASDAQ are being outperformed daily by other world markets. And the fastest growing markets are Indonesia, India, Thailand, South America, Hong Kong, Asia, and Europe, even with their problems. You see, for many years, Americans have thought that for investment and banking to be safe, they had to be American. And for many years, it was true, but not anymore. It is not true now, and it is absolutely ignorant to hold those beliefs. Because we went after guarantees like FDIC and agencies such as the Securities and Exchange Commission and various states' attorneys general. And what have these guarantees cost us? And how much are we willing to keep paying for them? The cost, ladies and gentlemen, has been a much lower return on our investments and uncontrolled growth of regulatory agencies resulting, of course, in complete loss of privacy and confidentiality. They want it all. And they don't want one single penny to escape detection. But you see, they have an erroneous idea. They think it's their money. And it's not. I don't care what they say. Anything you earn with the sweat of your brow belongs to you. The average American works for half pay. Did you know that? 30 seconds of every minute you work, you're working for the government. Figure it out. If it takes you 5 to 6 months just to break even on the income tax, if you're into that scam, and I'm not, thank goodness, that's half the year. That's 30 seconds of every minute you work. You're working for the government. Only the government's not paying you. They're taking from you. And a detailed examination of all taxes reveals approximately 108 hidden taxes or more that we all pay every day when we purchase goods and services. See, you don't realize that when you go and buy a loaf of bread, the people that purchase the ingredients to make that bread and bake that bread had to pay a whole bunch of taxes before the bread was even put in the oven. On that ingredients that went into the bread. And a whole bunch of other things. And we all pay these every day when we purchase goods and services. And this translates to just over 50% of your income going to taxes. If that's not enough, the bankrupt government has found another way to get it. They get at what we own. You earn the money, you pay the taxes on the money, what's left, you go down and you purchase something, and guess what? They want that too. It's called asset forfeiture. Asset forfeiture. 84% of the people who have assets seized have no criminal or legal charges ever filed against them, and no matter how hard they try, they cannot get their property back. They're not criminals. They didn't do anything wrong. Some local official or some federal official decided they wanted that property and they just go and take it. President John F. Kennedy 10 days before his assassination, stated, and I quote, "The high office of the president has been used to foment a plot to destroy the Americans' freedom, and before I leave office, I must inform the citizens of his plight," end quote. Capital is becoming more mobile. The capacity to earn high income is no longer tied to residence or specific locations, folks. Today, wealth can be earned almost anywhere by anyone using highly portable information technology. And soon, the advances of the information age will make income taxes truly voluntary. In effect, they will become uncollectible. And that's what I'm trying to do by teaching you all this. Governments will be forced to get their money from consumption and our head taxes. The paradigm that government should pay the bills of anyone afflicted by hardship is rapidly changing to rewards must match more closely the productive capacity of the individual. And for decades now, failure has been subsidized, and ordinary people have come to believe that failure is an asset, and somehow the rest of us owe them life and money and food and work and a place to live. And it's all bullshit. We don't owe them a damn thing. Nothing. You see, that attitude must change. It has to change. It will change because this phony welfare state cannot be sustained. And don't tell me that welfare is being phased out. That's baloney. They just phase something else in that takes its place. And if you don't believe me, look around and you'll see it. Just 10 years ago, 10 years ago, entitlement payouts were half what they are today. So tell me they're phasing out the welfare state. It's not true. And how about the aging of America? Shouldn't that be a pleasant experience? But unfortunately, the cost of out-of-control government and the growing bureaucratic intervention in every aspect of our lives is making the American aging experience most unpleasant indeed. Do you realize the cost of regulation to American society now exceeds the cost of federal taxation, according to Daniel Oliver, the former chairman of the Federal Trade Commission? One study by the Heritage Foundation estimated the cost of federal regulation at $667 billion a year, and that's about $8,400 for every single American household. Add the state and local government regulatory costs, and the burden leaps to $1.6 trillion, or $17,100 per household. Can you afford that? Did you know that America has the lowest rate of savings per capita of any nation in the world? Any nation in the world? Why is that? Well, it's a combination of two things. Taxation, the availability of ready credit, and the idea that somebody owes us. And that no matter what happens, we're going to be taken care of. You better think again. Capital gains, estate taxes, probate, taxation on income, no matter where in the world you earned it. A uniquely American phenomenon? How does this work out? Savings? Well, there is certainly something discouraging Americans from putting money aside for a rainy day. I think part of it has to do with they're afraid somebody's going to take it away from them. Did you know that capital gains tax is more like confiscation than taxation? And if you don't believe that, consider this. Inflationary gains are taxed on investments that actually lost money relative to inflation. How's that for discouraging savings and investments? I can see you scratching your head there. Well, let me tell you again. Inflationary gains are taxed on investments that actually lost money relative to inflation. It's the truth. Do you know what America's real debt is? Do you? We all know about the on-the-books debt. That is the $4.6 trillion. That is $3.4 trillion of publicly held debt and the $1.2 trillion federal trust funds. This on-the-books debt is scheduled to grow to $6 trillion in the next 7 years. But what most of us don't realize is that there is an off-the-books debt, meaning the unfunded benefit liabilities, pension obligations of the federal government, employees of the government, military, and Social Security. That adds up to a minimum of $14.4 trillion, and ain't nobody got it nowhere to give to nobody. That means a total of $17.4 trillion of debt. And I can see you scratching your head again and say, oh, but Clinton just told us he balanced the budget. Folks, balancing the budget hadn't got a damn thing to do with the debt. He's playing a game of smoke and mirrors with you, and you don't understand it. And this is based on 1991 and 1994 figures. And that's $70,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country. Even retirees and welfare recipients, counting everybody. Now, if the government were a private firm, it would be required to have that pension money in the bank. If a firm in the private sector were to behave like the government, it would be charged with fraud. It would be forced into bankruptcy court, and it would be put out of business. And if you think that's bad enough, this was overheard in the halls of Congress, and I quote, they can't be allowed to take it with them. It must be distributed to society, end quote. In fact, there's legislation being considered in Congress this very moment to lower the $600,000 individual exemption from estate taxes to less than $200,000, to legislate an exit tax so that citizens cannot take it with them if they leave the country. New reporting regulations aimed directly at transfers of assets to foreign trusts. But none of that is passed yet, which means you better get to shaking a leg here. Unfortunately, right now, there's not much chance of this legislation passing. But they'll nibble at it, and they'll pass it a little at a time until in 2 or 3 years it'll all be passed, like they've been doing with everything else. And what this proves is a growing tendency of government to feel that they have a right to the fruits of our labor. So if you don't believe that Karl Marx is living in the White House, you better start reading what Karl Marx had to say. Because that's a Marxist belief. Is this really what you intended when you sent your congressman up there to work for you? I don't think so. Did you really think he was going to go up there and work for you? I haven't thought that for years. And if you've been following the news, you should be aware that we are headed for hard economic times in the form of inflation, higher taxes, bigger and bigger government, more welfare, more American jobs moving out of the country, a bigger deficit, a higher public debt, larger federal and state budgets, and more government involvement in our private lives. It's bad enough that we have tens of millions of people in our country feeding off the taxpayers, but now we have millions of uninvited illegal aliens pouring into our country who came here because of what this country represents, but when they get here, they want to change it into what they left. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What kind of brain power is behind that concept? And they want the U.S. taxpayer to pay their way through life. And they're getting it. Situation's out of control, folks. When people run away from socialism and tyranny to come to this country, to beg for it to be instated here. Then it's not just a couple of teeth missing off the gear assembly. The whole damn engine's broke. It's out of control. And we'd better start thinking about how we're going to survive economically, because it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We are headed for a collision with reality. And when that finally happens, you better have something put away in the form of cash or gold or hard assets of some kind, property, to get through a few years of economic hell. Just consider, have you looked at the stock market lately? What's holding it up? None of those companies are worth anything near what their stock is getting. And how much money is represented in that stock market is nothing but a piece of paper with nothing behind it. When that finally breaks and comes tumbling down, ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be such gnashing of teeth and crying and wailing. That you probably won't believe it, but it's going to happen. If you think the Depression of the 1930s was bad, wait till you see what's coming. Now, here's four principal reasons why you need an offshore plan. One, tax minimization. Pay the least possible amount of that tax that is legally allowable, no more, no less. The Supreme Court has ruled on many occasions that avoiding taxes is legal and lawful, as long as you're using legal and lawful means to do it. So tax minimization, avoiding taxes. Privacy, create a realm of impenetrability. Number three is asset protection. Using a trust, divest yourself of assets. Number four is profit. There's higher returns offshore, and there's no tax offshore if you form your trust and your IBCs in the right jurisdictions. The only tax you should pay is on money you earned onshore, and only money you earned. So let's debunk a few myths here and misconceptions. Myth: government is good and for the people. The reality is, the less government, the better, and government is now, today, for itself, and growing constantly, and becoming dangerous, and tyrannical, and despotic. Myth: government takes over problems and solves them. That's a laugh. The reality is, the government creates more problems than it solves, and it creates them on purpose, and it spends more money doing it. Now, here's a good myth. The government places the interests of citizens first. How many of you believe that? The reality is that they have guaranteed their own reelection and their own long-term security, and they don't give a damn about the citizens, and they've proven it over and over and over and over. And they're the biggest a batch of chronic liars that have probably ever lived in history. Myth: government knows what's best for the common good. The reality, ladies and gentlemen, government is usually out of touch with the people and always acts too late at considerable extra cost. Myth: here's a good one. The United States of America is the land of the free. The reality, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America, the citizens, are losing more freedom every day as the country ages and government grows out of control and the Fourth Reich begins to take shape. How about this one? Taxation is an obligation we owe to the government. Reality? The government works for the people, and we should decide what to pay them. If we paid only what they are worth, think of the taxes we could save. Misconception. Trusts are only for the rich and powerful, and usually for businesses. The reality? It's time we all availed ourselves of the benefits of trusts, because everyone needs asset protection, not just the rich and powerful. misconception. A trust automatically means investment and a return on investment. Nope. Reality, a trust is an instrument, a document, a contract, a legal person, allowing orderly financial planning, saving, and minimizing taxation. If you use it properly within the law, it can be of great help to you. Misconception. Having a trust means an individual bank account. Reality is that trust funds are usually kept in a master account and no checking privileges exist. Misconception. A trust is just not for me. The reality is everyone needs a trust. If you need a bank account, you need an IBC, and the bank account is for the IBC, not for you. A trust can have a bank account. A trust can also issue a credit card for you. There's lots of things that you can do with a trust. There's even more things you can do with several trusts in conjunction with several IBCs. Now, America is aging, folks. Sometimes we refer to this as a young country because in the whole scheme of things, 200 and some odd years doesn't seem like a long time, but we're showing all the symptoms. You see, unfortunately, one of the side effects of aging is growing government, growing bureaucracy, loss of privacy, ever-increasing taxation, and litigation galore. It has happened to every single other great country of the past, and now it's happening to us here in the United States of America. It happened to us faster, because we do everything faster. And we really haven't been paying attention. If we had, maybe it wouldn't have been happening so fast. America used to be known as the land of the free. Now it's known as the land of the free lunch. Used to be known as the land of the brave. But I look out there and all I see is a big mass of cowards. Cowards! And you all know it's true. Tell me you're not a coward next April the 15th when you file your income tax return. Look me right in the eye and tell me you're not a coward. It's all out of control. People from all over the world used to immigrate here under great hardship and sacrifice in order to settle down and work toward the American dream. Now people from all over the world stay away from here unless they don't have anything, and then they flock here legally and illegally to get in on the gravy train, to take advantage of the dumbest, most disorganized welfare state in the world today. And who do you think's paying for this? Why, do I have to tell you? It's you. The meek, docile, silent, coward, exploited U.S. taxpayer. That's who's paying for it. Now, remember one night somebody called in and asked about a living trust? If you have what is referred to as a living trust, when you die, the court will appoint someone to tax you, pay your bills, distribute your property, and charge you regardless of whether you have a will or not. This person will have no idea who you are and what you want. This is called probate, and the average time for it is 2 years. Curiously, if you have a will, then you must go to probate. More curious yet, even if you haven't made a will, you already have one. The state, every state, has its own version of a will, just in case you don't. And if you made your will out in one state, you moved to another state, that will might not be any good there. And every state has its own version of a will. Of course, you could try giving away everything while you're alive. This means the property may be subject to gift tax. It also leaves open the possibility that whomever you give your property to while you're alive may not do with it what you want. Or you could try a power of attorney to avoid probate. The only problem with that is that it is automatically revoked upon death. The alternative is the trust offshore. Now, you can have a trust onshore if you want to, but I'm telling you, things are getting so dangerous in this country, it's not safe anymore to have your assets in this country. Now, if a trust sounds preferable to probate, consult your tax advisor or send for this report. It's $50. And it will have an application to get started with your asset protection structure. It's $50. Send it to the hour of the time in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's the hour of the time in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully. America is the only country in history that was actually founded on the principles of free market and individualism. The American Revolution was people against the state, as opposed to one strong man against another strong man. But with aging, America has degenerated. It is no longer an ideal to which free men can strive. This was inevitable, given the nature of government. The U.S. government seems to be moving inexorably toward a total corporate police state, and it has already reached the point where it can be counted on to place its interests and the logic of power above the interests of any of its citizens. And the more power and functions the government amasses, and the more people who are working for government, the less freedom and resources are left for the citizens. You see, government's like a creeping plague. What's that stuff down south they're always talking about? That vine that just grows over everything, grows over trees, grows over houses, grows over highways. Well, that's what's happening. Washington is like a creeping plague, growing exponentially, gobbling up things that used to be done rather well privately. After creating a middle class, it is now impoverishing the same middle class. And that's intentional. See, the world, the new world order, the new world government is going to be a socialist government, and there cannot be a middle class in a socialist world. Do you know any government that will voluntarily limit its own power and privileges? It's the nature of government. Despite all of its speech-making to the contrary, government will keep increasing its power, its scope, its privileges, and taxation all the time. Government, once created, becomes a magnet for power seekers. If government were treated as a private business, they would have gone bankrupt or been arrested decades ago. We're seeing in the Western democracies, in the United States of America, the Republic, in particular, the growth of the corporate police state, which is gradually conceding to itself the right to regulate and interfere in every single activity of the individual on the basis that it is doing so for our own good. Did you realize that one-third of the average business person's time is spent filling out government forms? The American economy is already burdened with so many controls and regulations that the price of many goods and services is doubled by tariffs, quotas, duties, franchises, subsidies, minimum wages, price regulations, state-sanctioned cartels, licensing, Social Security, medical plan, bureaucracy, EPA regulations, and thousands of other burdens. What to do? What to do? 20 cents of every tax dollar, they say, goes to pay the interest alone on the enormous country debt. And I'm telling you that 100% of every tax dollar goes to pay that interest. And it's growing every second. 50% of the wealth created by Western industry is spent by the bureaucratic machine and not by the productive part of the population who generate it in the first place. That's wrong. Not surprising when you consider all the government we have to live with, federal, state, county, and municipal. How many relatives do you have who work for government? I bet you've got a lot. To fund its enormous money appetite, government has no alternative but to keep inventing new taxes, new tolls, new duties, new fines, new extortions. We're now living with the first generation in history who will be less well off than their parents before them. Now think about that. We have to work twice as hard just to make ends meet. The standard of living and the buying power is actually decreasing. We are living in the most litigious society in the world. In fact, two-thirds of all the world's attorneys live and practice in the United States of America. Think about it. Two-thirds of all the world's attorneys. One lawsuit for every man, woman, and child in the country in 1992. That's one every 30 seconds. That's a lot of people chasing your legal service dollar. Is it any wonder, folks? Attorneys don't tell you about trusts and how to avoid probate. Another very good reason for diversifying offshore, as if our bankrupt, out-of-control Washington government didn't have enough to worry about, what about the Federal Reserve note? This was printed in Harper's Magazine. And I quote, "Our currency in cyberspace. The U.S. dollar headed south last spring right into the heat. In two mad sprints downward in May and June, our money hit post-war lows against the Japanese yen and the German mark." The projectable trend promises disaster. The most disturbing news was the relative failure of the governments of the United States, Germany, Japan, and 14 other rich countries to rescue the dollar from its freefall. The Fed reported that it devoted $2.8 billion to fighting the selling wave, a pool of money the traders profited from as the dollar sank to new lows. The sum total of our government's effort to protect its own currency was to transfer millions of public dollars into the coffers of some of the richest individuals and institutional currency traders in the world. Now, if you think it's bad enough that we have a Federal Reserve note attempting to represent real money, and the reality of it is it's just paper representing a debt that somebody owes somebody else, take a good look at the stock market. That represents no value whatsoever. It represents gambling. And sooner or later, it's got to come down. It's nothing but paper. If you were to take any one of those companies, any one of them, and cash them out and sell all their assets and divide it amongst the stockholders wouldn't get 10 cents on the dollar. If they were lucky to even approach 10 cents. Figure it out for yourself. Don't believe me. The United States, ladies and gentlemen, to a large extent, is a victim of its own success. Big American companies that looked poised to take over the world are now finding themselves having to transplant their operations to countries with lower cost labor. The competitive advantage has shifted to foreign economies. We were once the richest nation on earth. We created a huge middle class, and now we find that same middle class worried about their economic future. It is confused about why its income is falling relative to those in the rest of the world. Regulation. Like an anchor dragging through the mud, we are laddened down with regulation and taxation, which raises the cost of doing business to the point it prevents us from competing in the international marketplace. Low labor costs, lack of regulations, and healthy local climates all combine to make foreign markets more attractive to true entrepreneurs, including American entrepreneurs. In 1991, for the first time in a century, the United States became a net payer rather than a net receiver of foreign investment income. And just recently, they announced that our trade deficit was soaring. And they said it's good for the country. You know what the trade deficit means? It means we owe more foreign countries for their goods and services, which they're selling in this country, than we're getting from any of them in return for any of the goods and services that we may be selling them. And why is that? Because we don't have any more goods and services to sell them. We don't have any manufacturing industry left in this country. Just a few brave souls trying to hang on, like Drake Radio. This situation is not going to reverse itself for a long, long time. It will take many decades before the average Chinese citizen earns as much as the average American citizen, and it may take as long before America's anti-savings and anti-investing policies are reversed. And this guarantees that the dominant trend of the years to come will be a relative transfer of wealth from America to foreign nations, hence global diversification. And nothing's going to stop it. No wishful thinking, no sad-eyed look to the past. So you must take steps to invest at least a part of your portfolio offshore. Whether you do it with a trust or an IBC or with PIL or with somebody else, I don't care, but you'd better do it. The only real defense today, right now, against loss of purchasing power is global diversification. If you don't believe me, look what's happened to your purchasing power just since I was 13 years old. My father was considered to be upper middle class, earning $10,000 a year. We owned our own home. He fed and clothed a family of five and took care of us very well. My mother never worked a day in her life. $10,000 a year. Can you do that now? Can you do it now? Hell no, you can't. And you're not going to do it tomorrow or next year because next year it's going to be worse. And you'd better come to understand that right now. Remember what I taught you last night? If you were listening very carefully, you know. Not only will you not owe or be required to file and pay the tyrannical income tax, the unlawful, unconstitutional income tax, if you followed my instructions, but you will not even have a requirement to report that there is a trust to anyone, because you won't meet any of these things. You will not be a U.S. citizen transferring property or money to a trust. There will be no transfer, either direct or indirect. The trust will be a foreign trust, but there will not be a U.S. beneficiary. And there will not be a U.S. settlor. Now, if you forgot what I told you last night, get the tapes and listen to them. If you need to feel safe and provide for yourself some kind of an income in your old age, you can set up what's called a remainder trust. And in the contract for that remainder trust, you can specify exactly who is going to get what amount every year for the rest of their life, or for 10 years, or 5 years, or whatever. You can do it, if that will make you feel better. But right now, you need to do something. You need to order this report. You need to order all 12 of these tapes. It's up to you. The tapes for non-members are $11 a piece. For members, I believe they're $8 a piece. $11 a piece for non-members. For members, they're $8 a piece. The report is $50, and it includes an application to get you started. After you've read the report, if you have questions, you can call me or you can call PIL. And you'll have their phone numbers. Okay, folks, that's it. That is it in a nutshell. So, good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Annie, Pooh, and Allison, good night. God bless you. I love you. I miss you. I think about you all the time. I can't stand it.
Why have you come back?
Please, sir, we've done what you told us. We brought you the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. We melted her.
Ah, you liquidated her, eh? Very resourceful.
Yes, sir. So we'd like you to keep your promise, if you please, sir.
Not so fast! Not so fast! I'll have to give the matter a little thought. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, but I want to go home now.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow. The great Oz has spoken. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The greatest Oz has spoken!
Who are you?
I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
Well, what about the heart that you promised Tin Man? Well, and the courage that you promised Cowardly Lion?
Well, I'm scared of a brain. Why, anybody can have a brain. That's a very mediocre commodity. Back where I come from, we have universities, seats of great learning, where men go to become great thinkers. And when they come out, they think deep thoughts, and with no more brains than you have. But they have one thing you haven't got, a diploma. Therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Universitatis Comitiatum e Pluribus Unum, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Ph.D.
Ph.D.?
That's Doctor of Thinkology.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Well, you can. As for you, my fine friend, you're a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate delusion that simply because you run away from danger, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom. Back where I come from, we have men who are called heroes. Once a year, they take their fortitude out of mothballs and parade it down the main street of the city. And they have no more courage than you have. But they have one thing that you haven't got. A medal. Therefore, for meritorious conduct, extraordinary valor, conspicuous bravery against wicked witches, I award you the Triple Cross. You are now a member of the Legion of Courage.
Shucks, folks, I'm speechless.
As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart. You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable.
But I still want one.
Back where I come from, there are men who do nothing all day but good deeds. They are called good deed doers. And their hearts are no bigger than yours. But they have one thing you haven't got, a testimonial. Therefore, in consideration of your kindness, I take pleasure at this time in presenting you with a small token of our esteem and affection. And remember, my sentimental friend, that a heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others.
Oh, it ticks. Look, it ticks.
Read what my medal says. Courage. Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth?
Oh, they're all wonderful.
Hey, what about Dorothy?
Yes, how about Dorothy?
Yeah, Dorothy Max.
I don't think there's anything in that black bag for me.
Well, you forced me into a cataclysmic decision. The only way to get Dorothy back to Kansas is for me to take her there myself.
Oh, will you? Could you? Oh! Oh, but are you a clever enough wizard to manage it?
Child, you cut me to the quick. I'm an old Kansas man myself, born and bred in the heart of the western wilderness. Premier balloonist, par excellence. And in that balloon, my dear Dorothy, you and I will return to the land of E. Pluribus Unum.
Oh,